The numbers told the story. They always do.
He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin in the house on this Thursday morning. How you doing, Kelly? Good morning.
I'm doing well. I'm laughing at this. I didn't see this kid at the Dodgers game like rob a it's a ground rule double because he grabbed the ball after it bounced on the ground, was going to hit the wall, should have been in play still, and he snagged it.
Oh, I missed it.
And then the look on his face is great, like just whoopsie. Yeah, whoopsies.
Dodgers crushing last night again. It is, by the way, it's like brain dead. We've done this on the show for many, many years here, pretty much since the inception of a numbers game. The brain dead parlay season is here in baseball. Like, it used to be late September, then it would ratchet back to mid-September. I think, if I'm being honest, what I'm doing every day is there are Braves, Dodgers, Astros, and then pick like a friskier leg kind of thing. Not all three of those teams every day, right?
Right.
But like some combo of two of those and a frisky team. My frisky team happens to be the Giants, so when that works out, that's a beautiful thing too. And I hate to say this because, right, like Steve Fezziks of the world are going to say, oh, well, you're not getting the best number in one particular book. You're right, you're not. But sometimes we make this into brain surgery. Sometimes we make this into rocket science, pick whatever your comparison is. And sometimes it's just not.
Okay, I got one for you today.
Yeah.
Shohei and the Angels up against Seattle, okay? They're only like -160, okay?
Yeah.
And then we tack on Scherzer in Texas.
Oh, God.
At -255.
Yeah, I don't like it.
And then we tack on Urias and the Dodgers at -285.
It might very well win. I'm not going to do that, but I'm just saying. We're getting into that time of year where it's about as good a bet as anything. We'll come on the show a little later on, of course, because it's Thursday with Bill Krakenberger. It is Unscripted with the Crack Man each and every Thursday. He'll be in studio. I don't know. Whatever's on his mind, we'll talk to Billy about it. And then, by the way, fresh off his luring Teddy Atlas in here last week, who was just spectacular on the Spence Jr. Crawford fight. Tim Murray will join us. It's college football week. Today is the day, Kelly. Today is the day the college football guide is released.
It's out. Get it now.
It's out. Tim Murray, DC kid who's a huge Notre Dame fan. Not sure how that worked out, but he's a huge Notre Dame fan. We'll talk to him about Notre Dame football, second year under Marcus Freeman. What an interesting year it was for Notre Dame last year. Some really bad losses early, and then they tore through the second half plus of their schedule to end on a very high note. We'll see what he feels about Notre Dame, which has a really tough schedule, though, this year, and his thoughts on the Mountain West. Remember, when we went through the grid in our college football betting guide, the Mountain West was the conference that had the most consensus in terms of who our 18 experts thought would win it. Hint, it ain't Air Force, and it wasn't Fresno State. Think you can figure out who it was?
I can. We just discussed it yesterday.
Did we?
The other day.
Did we? Oh, okay. Yeah, we did. It's Boise State.
Right,
Boise.
Whatever went over the grid. It's Boise State. There
Boise
we go.
State.
I'm sitting back here like San Diego State.
I would love for that to happen, by the way. So we'll talk to Tim Murray about Notre Dame and the Mountain West, that combo, because we haven't gotten to them yet this week. Tim Lawson joins us to talk Women's World Cup. Germany eliminated overnight. Did you see this?
Boom, I did.
Morocco got a win, a 1-0 win over Colombia, and then Korea and Germany tied. And so group standings, Germany bounced.
Yeesh. See ya.
Wouldn't want to be ya. But now we get to the knockout stage. And so we have four games this weekend, one tomorrow night, two on Saturday, one on Sunday. The one on Sunday, Sweden and the United States of America. So Tim Lawson will have thoughts on all of the above.
So the updated futures board: England 3-1, Spain 4-1, USA +450, France +650. So the U.S. will run into Spain still at some point, right? And I'm like asking you, like you know the bracket of the Women's World.
Just right off the top,
off the top of your head, yeah. Because I remember Paul Carr mentioning that. No, it was Drew who mentioned that actually before the tournament. That was part of the reason why he was betting U.S. because it was really the only legit team he thought they were going to run into. But now, since they've had a poor group performance, they got to face Sweden first.
Yeah, the bracket. Well, it'll.
I'm just wondering if Spain's getting favored in that.
if the United States and Spain advanced all the way to the semifinals, we would
semifinals.
Okay. Yeah, but not till then. A lot of work to be done. At least, not at least, exactly two games prior to that, if we are to see that matchup. And then a little later on, we're going to talk, you know, all these great creative NFL props that are out there. DraftKings has season wins matchups in the NFL. So obviously with, you know, the commensurate numbers attached to them, which represent value? Is there value in that? They don't give you every possible matchup in the world, but can you find some that do represent value? And I think it really correlates with whatever your conviction is, your pre-flop conviction on the NFL season. And the answer to the question is, I do think there is some opportunity there.
I think it's an interesting way to bet win totals, right? It's another kind of proxy for betting win totals. Maybe there's a team that you've got a heavy lean to the over, right? And a team that you got a heavy lean to the under, but you're not really running to force a bets on both of those. You could maybe bet it in this market instead with those two teams up against each other. It's kind of the way I kind of looked at it. Also wanted to bring back up, Gil, we were looking at that market yesterday with that best and most improved record. That tweet we got about the alternate win totals.
Jared Earls.
It was great.
Excellent
from
tweet.
Jared.
Yep.
And I even downplayed how great it was because I thought DraftKings was still just dealing you a few win total options, like, you know, we get out here, right? Like the couple alts on the other side. No, you can pick like whatever number you want.
You can toggle it.
Yeah, you can go up to like 12.5 for Denver.
Yeah.
So he was absolutely right with that.
Man, I can't wait till Nevada gets legalized sports betting.
Me too.
Cannot wait for that day. Do you know anything about that? All right. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is special numbers game investigation reveals that it is the beginning of the preseason tonight with the annual Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio. And so Kelly and I are contractually obligated for 3 or 4 minutes to discuss the Hall of Fame game. We are not necessarily advocating any wagers on this, but you know, you might actually want to bet it, so we figured we'd talk about it a little. First of all, have you been to the Hall of Fame game ever or to the Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio?
Is it sad to say that I've been to Canton, but I haven't been to the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
That's great. If you drive by, it's like driving past an Arby's. That's what it looks like.
I'm pretty sure Kevin just grew up down the street from it.
Kevin did in the corner? Well,
sort of.
I've only been once. It was 2008. It was the last of my childhood heroes, Art Monk, after being just snubbed for years, and Daryl Green inducted into the Hall of Fame. So it was a great experience. I figured I'd never gone before. I'll probably never go again. But it was cool if it's about your team growing up. As far as what this means for us betting tonight, well, I don't know if it means a lot. It's the Jets and the Browns. Weren't those two teams that debuted on Monday Night Football back in 1970 as well? I think it was. But the Jets and the Browns tonight, this was a Browns team that was favored by 2.5 at one point. The Jets are now favored by 1.5 in short order here. The total is at 33.5. And yes, that's how these preseason totals tend to be. You know, at least a touchdown less than regular season games. No Aaron Rodgers tonight for the Jets. By the way, Aaron Rodgers hasn't played a preseason snap since 2018. So that's not a surprise. No Deshaun Watson, no Joshua Dobbs either for the Brownies tonight. By the way, do you know the last time an actual opening day starter took a snap in a Hall of Fame game?
I would guess 20 years ago.
No, Teddy Bridgewater, 2015, took a snap.
Okay.
For the Minnesota Vikings.
Was it literally one snap?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it was one snap. But one
one drive and then off the field.
Last time a dude took a snap anyway. So here's the deal. So the Jets are going to roll out Zach Wilson to start this game.
I'm just going to preface this. It being a Hall of Fame game, it's not the worst, like, quarterbacks that you're going to see.
Well, not for a half, you know, I don't know.
Not
maybe.
For a quarter or a half, yeah.
It's going to be Zach Wilson for the Jets. It's going to be Kellen Mond. Remember, he went to Texas A&M for about 8 or 9 years, as I recall.
Yep.
He's going to start for the Browns. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, DTR, is going to take all of the second half snaps for the Brownies.
Yeah, sounds like a little bit more detail with that, with what the Browns are doing. Because Stefanski did say that. Mond for first half, second half, Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
Yeah. You'll see Zach Wilson give way to the Tim Boyles of the world as well at some point. But here's the thing. Kevin Stefanski, when asked about this game tonight, it's funny because he had two quotes. On Tuesday, he had a Q&A with the media, and he said, "The bulk of the reps will go to our starters as we ease back on the players who will be playing in this game." I think what he meant was the reps in practice will be eased back, and then, you know, for the starters as the game approaches, because then he said it'll really be backups tonight.
Okay.
That was Kevin Stefanski for the Browns. And that's why, but more than any other reason, perhaps why the money has come in on the Jets. It appears that the Jets are taking it a little more seriously than the Browns. If you care about such things, let me just preface it by saying this. Last 10 Hall of Fame games have gone under. But preseason overs with a total below 37 since 2007, 221, 163, and 6. 58% hit rate for preseason overs under 37. This is 33.5. Do you have any bets? You doing anything?
I got nothing, but look, when you're still getting, when you can still get minus 120 on a 6-point teaser, I'm just going to throw it out there. You're getting a lot of bang for your buck with a total this low.
So same game teaser you're talking about?
Yeah, you could go same game or do what, you know, if you want to do what Will talked about yesterday, you can tie it into another leg.
So you're advocating a Browns over teaser.
Browns under teaser. So tease the total up.
Go you're going up. Okay, yeah. Browns. Okay, yeah, I guess you could have said either.
I wouldn't have been shocked either way. I think you'd be in that window.
Well, just to clarify what Will Hill was saying yesterday was, hey, Browns teaser leg tied into something you like week one of the NFL season. It is the Hall of Fame game. It's football. We're all pumped to see football back. What do you think your attention span will be with it tonight?
Oh, I will watch however long Zach Wilson's out there because I love too. Chaos. Yeah. So I hope Zach Wilson throws for like 280 yards somehow.
Yeah. And then a baseball score will catch my attention and I'll quickly turn back to the baseball game. Probably that's how it's going to go down. We'll come back. Tim Lawson on the Women's World Cup. His thoughts on all the games this weekend. Round of 16. It's next. Numbers Game. Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander. Tennis picks for the day. Yesterday, 0-2 with those two dogs, Kelly. Left here with the words, what could possibly go wrong? I said sarcastically. And of course, Dominic Thiem came back from one set down to beat Zheng Zhen. So we were 0-2 with the dogs yesterday after a 3-2 the day before. All these available, by the way, at VSiN.com/picks. They are available the night before. We are about to start the first of these, and it's on clay. And your number is going to be way better than mine. Having great CLV on this stuff has not helped us at all. So here's one where we're way behind on the CLV. Hopefully that will stay true to our bad number. Pedro Sachin is the bad number. You will get a plus number on him. I got him at minus 116 last night. Pedro Sachin is playing in Austria on clay, going up against Laszlo Deger. So Sachin is the first play of the day. Then the others are hard courts in D.C. Jordan Thompson, your number's actually worse than this. I have Jordan Thompson at minus 115. Right now it's minus 130. I would not play it any higher than that. He's going up against Christopher Eubanks, who had that great run at Wimbledon. But Jordan Thompson, the Aussie, ought to have been priced at what it is right now. So minus 115 if you still want to play it. Don't play it higher than minus 130, in my opinion. And the dog, the underdog, Leila Fernandez. You may recall her run to the U.S. Open Championship final a couple years back when Emma Raducanu won as a quali. As a qualifier, she took it in just an unbelievably surprising final. Leila's game's coming back. She's going up against Maria Sakkari. Maria Sakkari has only won one career tournament, but really usually does well in opening rounds, ergo her high ranking. But I like Leila Fernandez here as a dog in this. And the number is probably about a few cents better than what I got her at. Plus 130 is what I got her. It's probably around plus 134 consensus right now. And then we still have Francis Tiafoe to win this tournament on the men's side. Got him preflop at 8-1. He is now the short shot, Kelly. He is plus 350. He had a razor-thin win against Aslan Karatsev in the first round. Aslan Karatsev was every bit as good as Tiafoe, but Tiafoe got the tiebreaker luck for us. So we got through that. This ought to be the second round match that he has tonight. Ought to be a lot easier against Zheng Junshen. So Those are your three tennis picks of the day, Sasheen, Thompson, and Fernandez. Let's talk some soccer. Tim Lawson joins us. He is the host of the Better Life podcast. Again, for Rec Plus Betters, it is the niche you want or the podcast you want to listen to. The niche, if you're pronouncing that correctly. How you doing, Tim?
I mean, what could possibly go wrong is what I was thinking when I took Germany at 8-1, yeah. Thinking, hey, they got a nice path to the final. You know, they might have to go through France and England, but they're deep enough to handle it. And, you know, what's funny is we see the U.S. and they move on in unconvincing fashion. And Germany, I mean, for other than the first 20 minutes of the game this morning, was clearly the better side. Alexander Popp left it all on the pitch. And you know, Colombia getting a 90+7 minute, you know, winner, you know, in their second match is really the difference for Germany. And I'm sitting here looking back at the board, seeing if, you know, where else I might take a position. But, you know, sports betting is a humbling thing. And
it is,
with a small sample size like this, you know, it's easy to kind of like, you know, get down on yourself and be like, oh man, like I got that one wrong. But no, if the tournament started again tomorrow, I'd bet Germany at the one again. Like, you know, I'd repeat that bet again if the tournament started over tomorrow.
Well, it does beg the question, by the way, for those who missed it, again, Germany ousted overnight when Morocco beat Colombia 1-0 and Germany could only get the tie against Korea. By the way, there's 1,000 minutes of added time in both of those games. There's like, let's get Germany through this. And it still wouldn't work out. So it begs the question, I just want to say overall, before we get to your four picks this weekend, do you look, if you're taking the truth serum now, is it the small sample size nature of this that has made it so screwy? Or is there a little dash also of maybe none of us knows anything with these sides?
I think it's definitely a dash of none of us know anything. I don't know if you remember that when I first came on, you know, a couple weeks ago going into the World Cup, I made the point that, you know, we can't treat the United States like they're just some juggernauts that's going to bowl through everybody, right? They're playing teams that have developed squads and there's going to be competition. And that went for all of the, you know, the top teams. And I think what we're seeing is, I think that instead of there being a clear top tier and then a clear second, you know, a big gap or chasm between, you know, the top and middle teams, I think we're seeing a little more blending of, you know, maybe, you know, teams are developing their squad. Japan's not a good example because they've been doing well in the World Cup for decades, but, you know, Colombia, there we go. There's the best example on a team that just, they came prepared. They're tactically ready. They're physically fit. And they were able to execute a game plan in advance. So I think it's a little column A, column B on it's a small sample. We don't really know who's going to show up or whose form is going to produce. And also these teams are just better than we expected.
Okay, let's talk about the games this weekend. We are now through the group stage. We are at the knockout stage, the round of 16, if you will. And it starts tomorrow night, more of a palatable time, 10 p.m. Pacific, 1 a.m. Eastern. So it's actually Saturday morning on the East Coast, but still better than what some of these games have been starting at with the time zone difference. It's Group A's winner, Switzerland, who ended up with 5 points, against Group C's second-place team, Spain, who ended up with 6 points. So actually, the team in second place ended up with more points out of their group. How do you see this one?
Switzerland, one of, I think, three teams to not concede any, or maybe one of two teams. One of, at least Japan, the only other team that didn't concede a goal, and Jamaica, that's right. And so I think I lean under here, under 2.5. I got -105. I think Switzerland is going to park the bus, much like we saw with Jamaica in their last game. I think they're going to park the bus and leave it up to Spain and just hope that they can get on the counter. So I like the under there.
Under 2.5, Switzerland, Spain tomorrow night. Then Saturday, two games beginning with Japan and Norway. Japan won Group C with 9 points. Norway finished second in Group A with 4 points. And then the Netherlands, who, of course, won Group E over the United States with 7 points against Group G's second-place team, South Africa. Japan, Norway, Netherlands, South Africa. How do you see the two on Saturday?
The Netherlands, South Africa is tough because this is one of those cases where you're not sure if the developing unexpected team is going to be able to show up at this. So I have nothing against them in Netherlands, but I am going to watch that match because I'm going to be fascinated to see if South Africa can show up. But the over in Norway, Japan, over 2.5 plus 116. Japan quiet.
Oh, we just bounced out with Tim there. Sorry about that. So he likes the over, Kelly, is what we got out of that. Over in the Japan-Norway match on Saturday. Over 2.5, Japan and Norway. By the way, on the three-way, Japan is the minus 135 favorite. The draw is plus 250. Norway plus 370. But Tim is going with the total. So he's under on Switzerland-Spain tomorrow, 2.5. Over on Japan-Norway tomorrow. Real quick on the explanation on that, Tim, as we have you back now.
Norway, Japan, Japan has shooters. Norway has proven that they're playing in an open game. I can see this going 2-1, either, you know, in Japan's way, 3-1. So I think Japan's going to keep racking up in their success, and Norway's going to leave it open for either team to score. So,
all right, Sweden and USA on Sunday, then. This is the one that we're all anticipating. And weave this into your explanation. I mean, do you buy into the Carly Lloyd? Do you feel she's justified in being as harsh as she was on this team?
Yes, I don't think they should have been dancing and celebrating. Engaging with the fans is what they're supposed to be doing. They're in Australia. Their fans travel to see them. I think that's justified. But like the dancing and celebrating, yeah, you kind of, the very underwhelming performance to squeak by. I'm staying away from this match. I lean over because I think both sides can score. But the USA, for as unconvincing as they are, have only conceded one goal, and it was against a wide shot that Roard was able to get in. So it's a stay away for me. I'll be up in the early morning to see USA hopefully advance to the next round.
Yeah, feels drawish to me. All of these 90 minutes and stoppage time, of course, now in this round. Let's get back to the very first thing you said in our final moment here. You're looking around, you were saying, for now that Germany's gone and you had them. Is there a futures play that you like now as we head into this round?
So it's, you know, if you want something, I think you have to go to the bottom of the bracket, right? United States could do a Sweden, Japan, Spain gauntlet just to get to the final, right? And any of the teams going to have to, you know, deal with some talent up there. So I'm looking at the bottom part of the bracket. France, it's 7.5-1. Australia, 12-1. Those are the teams that I'm looking at. Also think that Sam Kerr, if you can find her at a really long number on top goal scorer, she could be a sneaky play if Australia makes a run.
Could you imagine that from not playing at all to winning that?
Yeah.
Tim, we appreciate it. As always, enjoy the games this weekend. Good luck with the bets.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Gil.
Tim Lawson at The Better Life, name of his podcast. That's B-E-T-T-O-R-O-R, not E-R on that, The Better Life. We'll come back. Kelly and I will take a look at those NFL season wins matchups we discussed. Available at DraftKings. It's a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Who will win the Heisman Trophy? Who will be in the college football playoff Final Four? Which teams will surprise? Which teams will disappoint? All of those questions and more can be answered by reading the 2023 VSiN College Football Betting Guide. Detailed team previews, picks, and best bets from our writers, hosts, and DraftKings personalities are just a few clicks away by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber. Not only will you get the college football betting guide, but also our NFL betting guide and an all-access pass to daily best bets, picks at a glance from VSiN shows, and full viewing of our DraftKings betting splits. Check out the current offers right now at VSiN.com/subscribe. And once again, the college football betting guide out today. Very pumped about that. It's Gil Alexander, by the way. It's Kelly Bidlin. What's happening? What's happening, party people? We want to look at some of these NFL season wins matchups. Again, with all of these, the biggest sort of macro statement that we can make is find the market that best applies or that gives you the best bang for your buck on your conviction. And so there's different ways to bet different things. The most notable one that we always talk about here on this show and have for years is alternate season win totals being probably the least efficient of the bunch, probably what you can exploit the most. The notion that alternate win totals are priced properly is a fallacy. When it comes to season wins, as Kelly and I were talking about earlier, sure, you can bet the standard pre-flop season win total, or you could bet an alternate, or you could do a little creative thing like matchups between teams where you can assess the bang for your buck on these. Now, not every combination exists at DraftKings with all 32 NFL teams, but there is a whole bunch of them. And Kelly, I don't know about you, but let's just take that very first one at the top.
Oh, that was all for you, Gil.
Thank you very much. The Beltway matchup between the Baltimore Ravens and the Washington Commanders, who I'm going to go out on a limb and say have one more year named as the Commanders. I believe it will be a three-year situation, and then Josh Harris will acquiesce and say, you're right, we'll change it to something. Will it go back to what it was? No, I think once that genie's out of the bottle, I don't think it is, but we'll see. Commanders are plus 475 against the Ravens to beat the Ravens in season wins. Now, keep in mind with season wins, you got to read the fine print, right? So if one of these teams is, let's give an example. If one of these teams ends up 8-8-1, no, let me try another one. Basically, what I'm saying is, if you end up with a tie, if you end up 9-8 versus 9-7-1, I'm guessing that's a push. So just because you end up with a better record doesn't mean you would win this. Keep that in mind as we go through this. This is regular season wins match bets. So the Commanders are what, 7.5 in the season win column? Is that what they are? Kelly, what is it?
Yeah, I believe so. I'm heading there right now.
Yeah, right. We brought this stuff. We should probably have had it in advance. The Ravens have a higher season win total than the Commanders do. The question is, in a tougher AFC versus a much easier NFC, is there a scenario? By the way, Commanders 6.5. Pardon me, not 7.5. 6.5 on the Commanders. Is there a scenario where the Commanders could actually end up exceeding the Ravens? Now, I happen to like both teams. I happen to think that I think I'm probably higher on the Ravens than the average person. But plus 475?
I think this is a good one. I wanted to give that one for you, obviously, for the DC connection. But I think it's another one when we talk about the win totals impossibly being priced correctly. Well, this is one where if you think, you know, you like both teams, but okay, if you're not as high on the Ravens this year and you think that AFC North is going to be absolutely brutal and you think the Commanders, you know, could be a little bit better than what most people think, you're getting a hell of a bang for your buck on a bet like this.
Yeah. And some people are going to go, what are you talking about? The Ravens are 10.5 and the Commanders are 6.5. Yes, but the alternate season win totals, again, all it takes is one glance at a final NFL standings in any year, and you see that the standard deviation to this stuff, like the volatility of what teams end up vis-a-vis their pre-flop season win total, it's just incredible every year how many teams end up way under or way over. So maybe you don't like that. Maybe you think I'm a shugging about that one. What about, though, some of these that are less sexy than a plus 475? This gets back to more of a question of, do you want to keep your money tied up for a year? You're doing that with the standard season win total anyway, by the way, if you're doing them pre-flop. But would you be okay tying up your money for the entire regular season on something like, see what you like about these, Kelly, Cardinals plus 170 versus the Texans?
So far, that one stuck out to me, too.
Yep. I get it. The Cardinals stink. Colt McCoy is going to play half a season here. But what are we talking about? Should the Texans be that big? Should the Texans be minus 220 against anybody?
No. I don't think so.
By the way, the Cardinals set at 4.5, and the Houston Texans set at 6.5. But I'll take my chances on that one. What about Dolphins plus 155 against the Bills? What about the Commanders plus 115 against the Giants? Not as sexy, but I get it. And what about a team like the Packers plus 190 against the Jets? All of those caught my attention, Kelly. Because, again, I feel like the Packers are better than most figure they are. And, again, I'll do my Jordan Love clipboard thing. When you get to hold a clipboard for years, you tend to be good afterwards.
Yep.
So no one should be surprised if Jordan Love is actually good at football. And then we talked about that Jets gauntlet to start the season. I don't know. Some of these will sound crazy to some, but I promise you, a few of the ones I just gave out will win. We don't have these available here in Nevada, but I think we always ask the question, if we had these available, would we play some of these? I think I would play some of these.
Yeah, I think so too. And there's a ton available. You could shop around on there. I think one of the ones that stuck out to me is, it's pretty heavily juiced, but Ravens minus 200 over the Steelers. I have a Steelers under win total bet already. I think I'm pretty high on the Ravens this year. Yep. Like, I think I'd actually probably be willing to lay that.
If it matches your conviction, Fire away. Now, so, you know.
Eagles minus 155 over the Bills. I actually like that because I think the AFC East is going to be just brutal.
All of that should factor in. Keep in mind some of the stuff we talked about yesterday with aggregated rest. Yeah, with some of these teams too.
Cowboys over Jets. Same sort. That's the same price and same reasoning. And I don't think the Jets are even. I don't think the Jets are as good as the Bills. I don't think the Cowboys are as good as the Eagles.
Right.
But I minus 155, I would lay that with the Cowboys.
Again, the question becomes: Do you want to have that tied up for a full football season?
Yeah.
Listen, if you're betting baseball season win totals pre-flop, you have it tied up for 6 months. It's not for everybody, right? Economics, macroeconomics 101. It's opportunity cost that you would otherwise be able to use that money to make money elsewhere. But for a lot of bettors who are more seasoned, that stuff ain't nothing but a thing. They're happy doing that, happy tying it up. Not for everybody, but it might be something that you might enjoy doing. Some of these are coin flippy too, right? Browns, Steelers, Jets, Dolphins, Lions, Jets. But what you were saying, Kelly, about the schedule and the conference and all of that is that's sort of the rub here, right? Like if you believe that the Jets, for all the Aaron Rodgers hype, are still in a stacked AFC East and beyond that a stacked AFC where it's just going to be a struggle to get to their season win total, and then you think a team like the Cowboys can just roll, maybe minus 155 is your price. Maybe you're cool with that. You're like, hey, I'll have my money tied up for all that long if a win is a win in the end.
Right. Yeah, and I'm not Drew. I don't have Jets last in that division, but I have them third.
Yeah.
For me. So.
What about you, Mr. Jaguars? What about Jaguars plus 130 against the Bengals? You like that?
Yeah, really. I mean, I do. I don't think I'd bet it, though.
Yeah.
I would lean that side, but I don't think I'd bet that one.
You can't bet them all. That's
I mean,
sure.
That's where AFC North is beyond fascinating to me this year. And maybe you could say that about the East, too. I think that, you know, when we had Drew on the other day, him talking about the East, he clearly thinks that one's going to be pretty wild. I think AFC North is going to be beyond fascinating this year. And it is, Mike Tomlin, I don't think he's having a winning season. I don't think it's happening, Gil. I think it's finally not going to happen.
Really?
But I could be wrong because history keeps telling me I'm going to be wrong. But you take that team, I mean, I think the Browns are going to be significantly better this year. I think the Ravens are going to be better this year. And the Bengals have not gotten any worse. The Bengals are still one of the best teams in the NFL. So that division is going to be absolutely brutal.
Yeah, I'm not sure which of the five I mentioned I would bet, but I'd bet a few of them.
I just think, like, when I talk to Steelers and the Patriots, they might be pretty good football teams. And if they were in the NFC, they might have a legit chance of making the playoffs. I think they're fourth in each of their divisions.
Well, we talked about that when we did the previews. It's like they could be the best last place teams in football, but still last place.
Still last place.
Where they are. By the way, again, just because we're talking about regular season wins matchups, just keep in mind, again, the main thing here is there are different ways to bet all of this. There's exact wins for teams, for every team. And like you said, Kelly, it's not just three or four options. It's like eight different options for these teams. There are double-digit amount of teams, 11 teams where you can bet on whether they'll go 5-0 or not over at DraftKings.
Yep.
Talking Bills, Bengals, Browns, Cowboys, Packers. Ooh, Packers. What are they to go 5-0? 22-1.
The first loss market I always find interesting as well. You really got to dig into schedules there, but that one, yep. I think there's usually some good bang for your buck on.
Perfection this year as well. By the way, the Jets only 15-1 to go 5-0 with that gauntlet. Come on.
Yeah, for real.
Give me a lot more than that. Tim Murray on the other side from VSiN Primetime. We're going to talk Notre Dame and Mountain West next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Turn a loss into a win with BetMGM, official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Place the same game parlay wager with at least four legs on any MLB game. And if all legs of the parlay hit but one, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $25. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions, 21 and over, please. New and existing customer offer, all promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. U.S. promotional offers not available in Kansas, Mississippi, D.C., Nevada, New York, or Ontario. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER in Colorado, D.C., Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Mississippi, New Jersey, Nevada, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, Call 877-8-H-O-P-E-N-Y or text Hope New York. That's 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. This offer not valid to Puerto Rico residents. Skill Alexander is Kelly Billen. It's a numbers game from the South Point Hotel Casino, tip of the strip. The majestic South Point, Kelly. What's your favorite part of the South Point, Kelly? Real quick.
I just can't get my mind off of me winning the music battle today. First time ever. It'll be better than any bet I would hit today.
A plus 6,000 just cashed here in studio.
We pull back the curtain. We play a lot of music before the show.
60-1 cashes.
During the show, we got former VMA legend up here, Gil Alexander. DJ legend, Gil Alexander. He knows every. This is what happens. Kevin will play some hip hop song, and I'll be like, "Oh, I like that song. I like that part where it goes this." And Gil goes, "Well, actually, that was sampled from a 1977 hit named blah blah blah." And I feel like a moron every single day.
I must be unbearable.
So what did you just start singing? It's the end of the world. And I was like,
because I was just thinking about college football. We're about to talk to Tim Murray. I'm like, this last season of college football is the end of college football as we know it. So that song popped in my head. And you,
REM, baby. You guys didn't know it, but I knew it. I win.
Kelly Bidlin, I'm everybody. Out. Tim Murray, co-host of Visa Primetime, which he does with Sean King each and every afternoon here on the network, joins us right now to talk Notre Dame, Mountain West, college football in general from his lair somewhere here in Las Vegas. How you doing, Tim?
Yo, what's happening? I'm good, man. Just thinking about those crowds that I keep seeing in Ashburn.
Yes. What he's talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is that now human beings attend Washington football team practices with joy. There are actually human beings out there. For many years, there weren't. I wonder what that was all about. What was the coincidence there? So real quick, then, what do you favor with the team name? You favor a change?
I want to go back to Washington football team. I don't think you can go back to the original nickname. This is what I want. I mean, and I'll be brief with this, Gil. You and I are both DC guys. You know, to me, I've always said I've never been just a nickname type of guy, right? So I'm a Notre Dame fan. I love the blue and gold, and I love Notre Dame. You know, that's what I love. I don't need the little leprechaun guy. So for me, I would love it if they went back to the Washington uniforms, right? Just the numbers on the helmet were fine with me. All about color scheme, you know, burgundy and gold. None of this black nonsense or those white jerseys with whatever red that was. Just go back to burgundy and gold. Just call yourself Washington. The Brooklyn Nets never go by the Nets. Everyone just references them as Brooklyn, right? You know, the Wizards almost don't even use the Wizards anymore. It's just they're basically the Bullets color scheme, red, white, and blue. And they're Washington. So just go back to Washington and bring back the color scheme, and I think that'll make a lot of people happy.
Tim Murray, I like it all. I co-sign on all. Go back to the Bullets, too. That's the name. That's the greatest name ever. All right, Notre Dame. How'd you become a Notre Dame fan, by the way, growing up in D.C. specifically? But to this season, obviously now we have Sam Hartman in as the Notre Dame starting quarterback, who seemingly has played 7 years, but it's really been 5 years as quarterback. Who has put up 13,000 career passing yards, 110 touchdown passes, 5 seasons specifically of experience. Tyler Buchner and Tommy Reese, OCing now at Alabama. But a tough schedule, Tim. What do you feel about your boys here?
My dad went to Notre Dame, so that was how it all started. I was born into Notre Dame fandom, and I know you can't see it over the shoulder, but that is a panoramic picture from the 1998 Notre Dame Michigan game. Notre Dame won 36-20, beating the defending champs. Young Timmy Murray is in attendance somewhere in that stadium. I will be at the Ohio State game when they're wearing those, green uniforms. But yeah, Notre Dame this year, Gil. I don't have a bet on them. I'll just flat out say that. And if I saw an edge one way or the other, I would bet Notre Dame. I'm not terrified of betting, you know, a team that I cheer for. The reason I don't have an over bet is, as you mentioned, you have Ohio State at home, you're an underdog. You have Clemson on the road, you're an underdog. And you have USC, which is a pick'em right now and probably ultimately will be an underdog slightly at home. You know, Sam Hartman, as you alluded to, I think can mask a lot of issues. You know, last year's team with Drew Pine, yikes. I mean, Drew Pine, you know, bless his heart, he'll be down at Arizona State and, you know, fighting for the starting job there. But he's not a Power Five starting quarterback. And Tommy Reese, former offensive coordinator, I thought did a really good job of figuring out ways to get the best out of him. Now you bring in Sam Hartman, an adult, as you had mentioned, the accolades that he accrued at Wake Forest, an up-and-coming wide receiver crew, need to see a lot out of that. I think a couple things that if you're looking to bet on Notre Dame, elite offensive tackles. You look on the left side, Joe Alt, right side, Blake Fisher, two guys, Gil, that'll probably hear their name called on a Thursday night or at very least a Friday night in the spring, two big boys there. And Sam Hartman's never had a big time, you know, offensive line like that. He had that slow mesh offense down at Wake Forest. The worries I have for the Irish defensive line really worries me. Not a lot of girth up front. And then the secondary, I love the corners. Benjamin Morrison's a freshman All-American coming back after six interceptions. Cam Hart, DC guy, shout out Good Counsel High School. They're really good, but secondary, the safety position does worry me. I think this is a 9-3 football team. I've said in my write-up, Gil, I do think they beat one of the big boys, whether it be Ohio State with a charged atmosphere or USC. But what Brian Kelly did so well, Gil, over his last 5 years in South Bend, won every game as a favorite. Marcus Freeman lost to Stanford last year. They lost to Marshall last year. Tricky spots, right? They go to Louisville. They go to Duke. They go to NC State. They play Pitt, who's always a pain in the butt. I do think they drop one of those games. I think they're a 9-win football team. And I lastly on this, if you were to bet it, Gil, and ask me, okay, you have to bet it, I would say this team is more likely 8 wins than 10 wins. So that's why I would lean under for the Irish.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up that NC State game specifically scares me. I don't know why that one on September 9th. Okay. And by the way, yes, losing to Marshall, losing to Stanford, they did obviously win 7 of the last 8 last year, only losing to Caleb Williams and USC. So hopefully for those like yourself who are big fans, it goes well this year. But good cautious betting analysis there. What about the Mountain West? We haven't talked about it on this show this week as our college betting guide comes out today. Air Force losing a couple big players, obviously in offense, Zeke Daniels and Brad Roberts. Fresno State's in the mix. But when we went, when we look at the grid in our betting guide, Tim, the conference that had the most consensus in terms of a champion picked is in this conference, and it was Boise State. 16 out of 18 of us picked them. How do you see this?
I'm with Boise State. Now, I haven't bet it because I don't love the value. It's around, you know, plus 180, 2-1, and that doesn't really fire me up, you know, here in August. I do think they're the best team. When you mentioned Air Force, you know, you lose arguably the greatest running back in school history in Roberts. You lose a starting quarterback that started 31 games and went 22-9 at a school that can't go to the portal. That makes me nervous to back Air Force to win this conference. And let's remember, they had some, you know, disappointment last year. Fresno State, they lose my guy, our guy, Jake Haner.
Yeah.
Man won everything for us. We won a lot of money on Jake Haner last year. He's gone. Mikey Keene comes in. That's, you know, we'll see. So we'll see what Tedford can do there. San Diego State, Talon Green, or excuse me, I'm intrigued by San Diego State, but they've, they're missing some pieces there. So, you know, for me, it's Boise State, elite backfield, probably the best running back duo in the group of five. They have Talon Green. This is a team that really doesn't get crushed in the portal, which is unique there for this conference. So I do think Boise State wins this conference, but if you mentioned that grid, you know, where I went a little off the script was I have Colorado State making the Mountain West championship game. I think this team has rebuilt incredibly well. Gil, they allowed 59 sacks last year, 4.92 sacks per game. Poor Clay Millen. That guy was just getting crushed. They went out and they got 4 transfers to go on that offensive line. And Torrey Horton, this is a name to know. He will be playing on Sundays. The dude is a stud, over 1,100 receiving yards, elite athlete. He's going to make some big-time plays. Colorado State over 4.5 wins is one of my favorite plays of the season. And I think they're going to go to a bowl game this year. And I wouldn't be stunned if Colorado State makes it to the Mountain West Championship game.
Tim Murray calling his shot on Colorado State. And Boise State, let's get you to a massive power conference. You know, let's make this happen eventually. I think it's coming. Love it, Tim. Thank you so much. And we'll listen to you on VSiN Primetime with Sean later today.
All right, Gil. Go Manders!
Commanders. At one, Tim Murray for Tim on Twitter. Crackman, Unscripted next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.